Do you remember Abraham in the car asking us that one time? It was so hilarious. He goes, Mom and Dad, what did you learn in your Sunday school class? Do you remember that? It was so cute. Oh, you know what? I forgot. I told people we're videotaping this. Oops.
Steph, could you help me with that? Just set this back there somewhere and push record. Or Dan. I had families listening and they said, please record it. And I'm like, okay, sure, no problem. And then I have it of you guys, which is awesome. So,
I realized that there's this like segmented thing happening in our faith, and we're trying to transition a gap from our experience with God to the conversations that we have with our kids. And some of us do it really naturally and really well, but as a church body, like, I want more shared experiences with my kids, and I want a chance to open up dialogue and conversation, even if it's controversial, even if it's, I don't know what I thought about that, what did you think about that? And so I felt the Lord starting to help me get a vision for what he wanted to do, which was to land families in a place of experience with God. Isn't that cool? So I said, if you can show me how we can do it, then I'm game for giving it a try. Because the one thing that I learned in having a daughter who had autism was that God really loves a parent who learns how to become skin to skin, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball. You know, like, because I would have been that command center parent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Like, so you yell to your kids from whatever place in the house that you happen to be. You like yell the commands, like, get your shoes on, get your stuff, do blah, blah, blah. You're right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you have a kid with autism, it doesn't work. You have to physically go help them get the shoes. You have to physically pull their pants up, you know, to their five-year-olds. You have to physically go do all of the things. And so I would have been a command center parent, but I became a skin-to-skin parent because I was forced to. And I realized later on what a blessing that was for us, because it taught me how to have a level of intimacy with my kids that I think I would have missed. And so I felt the Lord saying to me, do you think that I'm a command center God? That I'm releasing these commands to people and I'm disembodied from what I'm doing? Or am I a skin-to-skin, nose-to-nose, eyeball-to-eyeball parent? Wanting to do with you all the things that I'm talking to you about. Because he goes, you know, and you have never once given a kid a present on Christmas and said, okay, you go up and open that in that room because I got stuff to do. And I was like, yeah, no, I would never ever do that because I want to do it with them. Half the reason I give them the gift is because I want to do it with them. Are you kidding? Like, my girl's crafty because I'm crafty because I like to be, you know, and so we enjoy doing that together. The last gift that Abraham got was the little hydraulic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And who did most of it?
Yeah, I assembled most of it.
It was hilarious because Greg was really trying to give it over to him, but you just, you couldn't.
It was too much fun.
So Abraham's like hovering, you know, and together their fingers are like all over this thing. And Greg's like, okay, we'll do this piece right here. And I just felt the Lord going, that's the way I want to live life with you. You're trying to figure out how to parent. You're trying to figure out how to do this. You're trying to figure out what to do with your finances. You're trying to figure all these things out. And he goes, I so want to do it with you. I want to do every piece of it together. Living, breathing, enjoying, touching, feeling together. And I realized that most of the places that we go that are faith-based aren't super interested in helping my kids or us cultivate that kind of relationship. And that's the kind of relationship that we want to explore. And so we're wanting to have this opportunity to get your feedback to help us learn how to have families in the same room and have it be really fun and have it be stretching and growing and challenging and really memorable. We're hoping by the end of this 5 weeks, I mean, okay, so you had peeps on your head. Next week, we're doing cheese balls and shaving cream. Just telling you, so we're taking it up a notch. We hope that you will have some memories in this 5 weeks that you'll never forget. That your kids will go, remember the time, ... And that they'll be talking to their friends because they can't believe how cool their parents are. So what I want to do is pause and take some time and hear from you. So in your buckets, you should have some pens and some note cards. We're like the church of the note card, by the way, just so you know. Everything in life revolves around the note card. And I'd like you to take a moment and just think about, in your church experience, if you could tell your church anything, or if you could tell God what you want in a church experience, what is in your heart? I've shared a tiny bit of what's in our heart about what we're feeling God is inviting us into, but lay that aside for a moment and just ask the Lord, if I could have anything in my own church experience with you and with my kids, what would that look like? Because that's what we're wanting to hear. We're wanting to hear what is in your heart that you wish a church would do or would consider. Okay? So take a moment, and I'm going to go find my notes that I have somewhere here in the building. An underground tunnel, that's so good.
So, why don't we take a quick moment before you share,
if you could have anything in a church, what would it be? Because this is like, it doesn't matter if we can do it or not do it, we just want to hear, you know, what people in the Phoenix area are going, this is what makes my heart beat, this is what I ache to see happen. So, it may or may not have anything to do with us, but it has a whole lot to do with why God brought you here, you know, to speak into what's happening here. So please just share what's in your heart. And when you do, if you do share, and you don't have to, if you prefer to write things and not speak publicly, that's totally fine. We'll just collect the cards for those who are willing to give us their cards too, because that would be really helpful. Okay, so who wants to share something? Thanks, Lindsay. This is Lindsay Beaker.
Hi.
And you live up here in Cave Creek. And you have how many kids?
Yeah, I have three kids, 4 and 2.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Something to tell, not just church in general, is that not everyone's afraid to be uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable, you need that.
I can't believe you just said that. Hang on. I gotta say it again.
I said not everyone.
Is it not?
Yeah. Oh, not everyone's afraid of being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because to be uncomfortable means that you're growing.
Yeah. That's so funny that you say that. Sorry, I'm gonna. Am I allowed to make a comment on that? I have people go, oh, you know, I'm nervous about coming, or I'm nervous about having my spouse coming, because, you know, it's like, it's different, it's unusual, and I'm thinking, is being uncomfortable for a few minutes like that hard? Like, I'm uncomfortable trying a new restaurant. You know, because it's new, it's different. I'm uncomfortable going on vacation. I'm uncomfortable going to my kid's first day of school and I'm not even walking in the door. You know, like there's a million things that make me uncomfortable, but I don't not do them. So that's huge. How many are uncomfortable right now? Don't raise your hand. Okay, go ahead, Lindsay.
I think for me,
just say who you are, where you're from, and how many kiddos you have.
Okay.
Some people don't have any kids, so it's not a requirement, by the way.
Lindsay Bailey, I'm from Phoenix. I have four kids.
I don't think it's on.
It's
on.
Okay.
I can talk really loud.
Okay, talk loud.
Perfect. I'm with you. I think there's so many great churches around, so the thing that I drive all the way up here for is a chance to practice the prophetic, because in a really safe, fun way. And so for me, anytime that you can make the prophetic like a game for the kids, like I love the pictures that we do. Another idea I had was like treasure hunts with the kids. So asking the kids before they go to church to write down some words or whatever and see if God reveals who they're supposed to give the words to or whatever. Just something that makes it like a fun game. And I feel like that's what we do here. We try to think of concepts and then figure out how to make it like a game with the Lord.
Easy.
And that's important to me.
And this is Lindsay and
Jerry.
Yeah, and you guys are
Mary.
Yeah. Where do you live? Where do you guys live? Living together and married. And where do you guys live?
In Phoenix.
Phoenix, right. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, that was just so funny. I'm like, I know, don't know the answer. Jesus.
Tired.
Okay, so, right? So if people are going, okay, what do they mean by the prophetic? Anybody have that question? Like, what does that mean? I think in this space, when we use the word prophetic, I think it simply means hearing what God's saying. Hearing what God's saying.
And saying.
And what?
And saying and repeating.
Yep, and saying and repeating. So I don't think it's any harder than that. Yep.
And I'll just piggyback off of that I wrote that.
This is Amy.
Oh, hi. I'm Amy. I have three kids.
Yes, and you live?
15, 12, and 6, and
yeah.
I live up in Cape Creek.
Yep.
I just want to say that I wrote that just laughter and fun together, and not even realizing that we're learning from whatever we're doing, like the game thing, is just to me is a really powerful thing for the kids, because when they don't even realize, you know, because I think when kids think we learn today, more learning, you know, I just think that kind of puts a wall up.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, we're just gonna have fun. That's kind of what I told boys. They come ask me questions on their way. I don't know what to expect. Just be open-minded, you know. So I just think like just making it into games and fun.
That's so good. Thanks. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Heather.
I kind of want to piggyback on that too. And what's important to me is that we value the kids' abilities just as much. Like to hear from the Lord and to do really anything, like if they're musicians, like don't prevent them from playing. You know, because the kids can hear from the Lord just as well as the adults hearing them. We don't minimize the kids, just because the kids.
Yep.
But I think that's very well here too.
Thanks.
Chris. We're Chris and Jason and five kids. It's not that bad.
They're my superheroes.
19 months, 3, 5, 7, 9.
Woo!
We grew up in a church, I did. That, you know, the kids were in service for the worship offering, and then they would pray over us, which was a big deal to me, and then we'd go off to our class. And I think that was really good because we learned from example, and not that being in a children's program, they're
Yeah, that's really good. Mike?
So, my young four kids came to so, I remember we had to travel around a lot of the Air Force, a lot of small towns, a lot of small church. And those are the places you see more family style. They don't have all the big programs and things. And the best places that I encountered were the ones where pastors would call the kids up and they take that message of the day, and there'd be a kid's understanding of it, and then there'd be a deeper dive. And you call them forward and you tell the story in such a way that we get friendly. So it'd be like, okay, so this is 2 hours. One is a little bit of this. Okay, so the soldiers are fucking good. So there's a soldier, right? And tell them the story about whatever it is, literally, because that's the way it was done. They didn't have printed Bibles for like how long?
So 500 years ago.
And so everything that we passed down from generation to generation, the storytelling of what they did. And so I think we've lost the art of telling the story. And I think we should model that in the church setting where kids hear the story, ask them questions, give them the parents to hear the kids' perspective on something that you've heard over and over and over, and you think you have the adult answer to it. Kids are more often in tune with that. And you might be surprised at what you can learn from the kids. And then they have made their message where they take that. They explore it further in their time, and you do it here, talk about a great connection at home, so you know the story they go into.
Right. Anybody else want to jump in? Yeah, please, Ted.
My name's Ted, I'm from Chicago. I have 4 kids, 14, 13, 11, 9. We've kind of been in that journey for the last, church, a lot of like a lot of great churches, and seeing where things were missing, because something wasn't right in our spirit. And what I really was just having authentic transparency among
Good, thank you.
Hi, can you see?
Yeah.
My name's Shana. I think as well, something that we really kind of come to want in our church family is just authenticity as well. You can treat the Bible as kind of like a history book. And I think when our kids see that, you know, God is, he's here, he's present, he's active, he's moving, he's speaking, he's doing all these things. And when they get a hold of that, mm-hmm. they get a hold of the reality of who God is, it's life-changing. And I think as parents, we have that ability to demonstrate that for our kids as well. They see the reality of God in our lives and how he speaks to us. They're going to, like you said, they're going to catch on to that. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we have an authentic relationship and walk with God individually, but also corporately, I mean, you can't help but be drawn to that. So I think that's important as well.
That's good. Thank you. Yeah, Jules.
All right, so I see you. I'm happy with this. But one of the things that I love about church is being able to interact with other believers. And that's what I think a lot of times, as a single individual, we get lost. We don't get included in the family whole situation. And that's what I desire, is the community to be able to not only meet in church, but being able to meet outside of church. And I think that's really possible. But the other part of my passion comes from mentorship, because there are believers who are more mature, have different knowledge than I do, that they have a fresh revelation about, and they can share that with me, just like I can share my singleness with them, that we can kind of meet in the halfway place, you know, because a lot of times, you know, as a single woman, you desire to have other women in your life. And just like men, they need other believers, other men, to be part of their life so that they can go be men together, just like women can go be women together and do their thing. And I think sometimes in all of the churches that I've grown in, I've had to really push for that. And I would like to be a community of, not just a community, but a family. Being able to know that, pick up that phone, and you can get somebody on the other side that will either pray with you outside of here, and not just necessarily not in the church, but on the same token, you know, there's sometimes where I need to get tired. And I'm sure we all would like to have like a break. You know, but if you don't have that relationship, you can't get that. So that's what I desire in the church. Because it's good. Much, much more than just having kids.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you. Anyone? Yeah, Steph.
I'm Steph. I have one child this time. And something that I want to see, and something that's always on my heart, is writing songs during or before a specific service based on what God is doing on that day or in that, what he has for us like right now. And I would love to see kids involved in that, and, you know, whether it's bringing a word to, like, the community doing it, bringing a word to me, or having their own song that they want to sing, and, or a, like a tune they want to play on an instrument, or something that is from the Lord, and just let that be a place of exploration. And like right now, we're just like singing today's song. Mm-hmm.
So good.
I'm Shalene. We have four kids. We live in Aspen and Steph in Phoenix. So I have a few things, but the top three for me are to learn, I don't want to say new, but maybe a different way to read and understand the Bible. I've been hearing and know the Dallas Seminary way very well, and I respect and love both Dallas and Phoenix Seminary. But I really, my heart craves a new understanding, a different understanding, a new lens, a new paradigm. Something that for me is cuts deep and is more experiential than what I have grown up with. And so I'm very much, I read it in books, I hear it in sermons, I have found all kinds of ways except for the real life way to learn that. And so I'm looking for a way that's not a podcast or not a book, that can help teach and open scripture in a new way for me. Or actually an old way, but a different perspective. This is a very old understanding of scripture, but it's not often taught. So I'm really looking for that in live person atmosphere. Next, we're looking for, I know Sam as well, really great worship, like the kind you just get lost in, your heart, like Steph was saying, like your heart and soul kind of, the kind when you're driving along in your minivan and you crank the song up and you are singing at the top of your lungs and it is normal, natural, authentic, vibrant, that. So I can drive my minivan in here and I can show you what that would look like at any point in time. I do that often. And then the third way, Angela and I talked about this a lot, but that word contributor has come up. Like I'm looking and I would love for myself and my four kids to be contributors in church and not participants. I've been a spectator and a participant my whole life for church. And I would love to be a part of an actual church where I'm contributing and my kids are contributing. Those are different, they're different things.
It's a really good word. Yeah.
Smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right? Anybody else want to jump in? We have time for one more comment. They're making food for us right now, just in case.
Right? More peeps, homemade peeps, maybe.
And it's being cooked, so you know, don't have to worry about germs. Yeah, go ahead.
Comment to the injury.
We are so appreciative of you all being willing to contribute to us so that we can learn how to do this really well. So let me kind of tell you some of our core values about what we're about and then how we see these services over the next 4 weeks going. We're going to have a little bit of worship. And when Greg and I started this, we wanted nursery and we wanted worship, and we didn't get either one. Right? That was our deal?
Yeah, it was our deal.
That was our deal.
Yeah.
So
two things we hadn't had.
I wanted signs, but we're not even going to get into the signs. Yeah, okay. So, not signs of wonder, but actual physical signs, so people actually know we're meeting. But, you know, that's another story. So, we are in the process Because we're just following a move of the Lord. So we aren't pulling triggers and solving problems. What we are doing is sensing and discerning what God's doing and following that. And so I will tell you that I think he's a total genius, but a lot of the times I go, are you kidding me? And sometimes I might ask him if he's on crack. But I am watching him be very strategic in how we're building, and part of the things that he's holding back is helping Greg and I and our community think differently. Him holding back on the nursery made us think differently about having kids in here. And I will tell you, when I went to that event in California, I had about 5 people come up to me and say, I'm sorry, I don't know if you believe in this, but could I give you a prophetic word? And I was like, I do believe it, and I'd love to have a word. And every single one of them said, this thing that you and your husband have been given to steward, and this small community of people, all of them said that. None of them knew anything. None of them had, I'd never met any of them before. And they said, that thing that you're doing, I just have to tell you, kids will lead the way. And I was like, la, 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 I don't want to hear you. But I'm starting to see how the Lord is actually doing that. So one of the things that I wanted to do is have prophetic art. I've wanted to have someone during worship doing art. But I haven't been able to quite get that, you know, penciled in, we're really doing this. And so I asked the Lord 2 days ago, what are we going to do about the prophetic art? And he says, everything that you can't find an adult to do, you need to have the kids do it. I was like, that sounds like a good plan. So we're going to hopefully have some easels up so that kids can start to participate with adults. If they want to, you can do a family prophetic art. You can have a kid. We just want to give a space for everyone to explore how God communicates with them and how easy it is to hear his voice. We've been somehow conditioned to think that it's hard to hear him. We were made to hear him. We were made to hear him. It's not hard. We've just been taught that it's hard. In fact, can I take a second and share this? Abraham got healed recently of eye tracking issues. It was a really cool experience. I was up at Bethel, and I didn't have anything else for people to pray for, and so I asked them to pray for Abraham, and they put their hands on my eyes and prayed for him, and I came back, and we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, this doesn't make any sense. In fact, he was gone for like 20 minutes because he was like, these test results don't make any sense. And he said, I've never seen this before, and his eyes were healed. And a couple weeks later, Abraham was doing homework, and he was like wailing and upset because he was going to have to do this homework. And I said, just get started. I have to go to the restroom. When I come back, we'll work on it together. And he's like, I can't do it. And I'm like, I think you can. Just please get started. And I came back, and he was off playing. And I said, Abraham, we have to get your homework done. And he said, I'm done. And I said, what do you mean you're done? And he goes, I'm done. And I said, show it to me. And I looked at it, and it was done. And I said, how did you get it done in such a short time? He goes, I don't know, it was easy. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, huh, it was easy. And I said, what was that again? And he goes, it was easy. And I said, Abraham, you're going to have to realize that your life is different and you are never going to struggle the way that you struggled before. You are a brand new boy. And what was hard and impossible for you before is now. And he goes, easy? And I said, it's easy. And he said, tell me that story again, Mommy. And he, over the next day, asked me to tell him 5 or 6 times that same story. Your life is never going to be the same. That which was hard for you is now easy. And it made me think of Maria Montessori, who said when she was helping kids learn, and she, you know, she taught kids who were considered helpless, taught kids who everyone said, you know, were kids who could never learn, and of course all of them did learn, and they said, what's the hardest thing to teach a kid? And she said, it's not hard to teach a kid anything. She goes, the hardest thing is to teach them that they're not stupid. And she said, once you get them over that hump, you can teach them anything. And I think that's the same issue with the church. We've somehow been conditioned to think that it's hard to hear what God wants to say every moment of every day. But once we get over that hump, man, does the faucet turn on. And it is so easy to hear him everywhere. And it's so fun to hear our kids hear the Lord for us. One of my best memories of this whole thing was of your guys' son. Just the other week, he was running around, and he said, can I give you a word, Miss Jocelyn? You know, and she goes, yes, you can. And he ran to go get a picture, and he pulled it, and he said, I picked this picture for you because this looks like this, and God's saying this to you. And Jocelyn's like, crying. And I thought, how fun is that? Because that's a kid that walks into every room no longer vulnerable to peer pressure. that's a kid who has the ability to discern what God's saying in their life situation. And how many of us would have grown up better if we had had that? If we had the ability to hear what God was saying in every situation, or we knew that it was possible to hear what God was saying, and we could get someone to help us hear it, how much of our lives would be different? It's huge. And so isn't that the fun, that we're going to get to like grow up with our kids in our ability to just enjoy life with God? So our key values here, we might have a lot more. You'll notice we have like nothing on our website. So we'll get there. But some of our key values are, we are family. So here's the thing. Family almost never agrees on anything, right? You go home for Christmas, do you agree? Do you vote politically the same way? Do you think the same way about God? No. No, but you're still family, and you still love each other. So that means that in this place, there is freedom to experience God the way that you experience him, and we don't have to scrutinize each other's experiences with God. We don't have to assess each other's experiences with God. We can just let people have experiences with God and let the Holy Spirit figure it out. How fun is that, right? That means we don't have to teach our kids to assess, and we don't have to assess them. We can trust that the Holy Spirit is growing us all up in maturity. So that's one of our key. Anybody want to make a comment on that? Okay. One of our other values is the culture of honor, which is that we honor your ability to hear and learn from the Lord yourself. So I don't feel the need to pull your false foundation up from underneath of you. I can love you until you're ready to walk off of it yourself. So if I see that there's something, or perceive that there's something that might need to change in your life, I don't have to worry about it, because the Lord's got that covered, just like you're not going to worry about the one you see I'm standing on that's a false foundation. And you're going to just love me into being able to be free enough to walk off of my own. Because I sure hope that most of us know almost nothing about God. I sure hope that we have all of eternity to explore him and discover more and more about him. And so I hope in all the ways that we know God, I know that I hope that we know like this much. And so isn't that like exciting to go, there are so many different ways to experience him and discover who he wants to be for us in all these wonderful life circumstances and situations. So one is that we're family. The other one is a culture of honor. The other one is fun is the fragrance of heaven. We just really want to have a high value for fun. And we really hope that you all will help us and will contribute. And that leads to the next one, which is that everyone's a contributor. Everyone brings a water level with them. Everybody brings an atmosphere with them. And church, I think, has been misunderstood. I think most people have been taught that you come to church. This is how we were both raised, right? Mm-hmm. You come to church to get what? Fed, right? I don't think that that's true at all. I don't think that people come to, that's why people feel anemic, because it's not how it works. I think what happens is that church is the celebration of what God is already doing. And so instead of coming to receive something, you actually come to pour out. And in the very pouring out and the celebration of what God has been doing, you open up another space for God to fill it during the week. So it's a reverse of the perception of the flow. Isn't that cool? So everyone is a contributor, which means that there's a way for you to contribute, whether it's writing on a card, and that releases a revelation in the atmosphere that everyone can have access to, whether it's something that you color with your kid, whether it's you decide you want to do worship, you know, whatever it is, or you just come and you just soak. Whatever it is, every person is a contributor to this. And if you want your kids to have a chance to explore more contribution, we're all in for that. In the next 5 weeks, if you're like, I want my kid to practice prophetic, I want my kid to practice singing, I want my kid to practice art, then let's make that happen, okay? Because we have 4 weeks to play with and give our kids a whole lot of opportunities to have brand new experiences and to learn how to do it really well. So, do you want to add to?
Yeah, I guess the one thing that we're not a culture of is a culture of performance, though. I mean, we don't, you know, we, you know, Angela kind of alluded to it earlier when she said that we haven't just tried to push and make things happen.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, so that's, and so that means that, you know, right now, we don't have a live band, right? And we are blessed to have Jocelyn and Jared singing along with the music, and that is fantastic.
And could we solve that? Yes, we could solve it.
We could solve that. But that's not, we're not pushing to accomplish
tasks.
These things that, we're not looking to build another church. Just, I mean, we feel like God is asking us to do specific things here and not just recreate the same thing that's right down the street, which is wonderful because God's got that all in his hands.
And he's got, he loves what they're doing.
He loves what they're doing. But he's wanting us to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add to that, to the contributor part, because it's something you and I talk about often. I love the idea of defining contributor is contributing with who you are. So when you walk in, who you are is what contributes to the atmosphere. And our whole life, we live in a world system where contribute is equivalent to serve. And so we live in this paradigm where contribute and serve are the same word.
Oh.
And that's not what I mean. Contribute, you contribute to the atmosphere with who you are. And then out of who you are comes, springs forth, I would like to do art. I would like to do something else. But the value is on the origin and the source, which is you. And so who you are changes this room. And then if you would like to spring out of that and serve in any way, that would be really great. That we love that. Do that. But that is not what is most valued here. And contribute and serve are not synonymous, nor are they interchangeable. And so I think I would love it if we all stack hands and walked in and our kids knew that they were valued if they come and sit in this chair and do nothing, that they are contributing with who they are to this atmosphere. And then if they'd ever like to get up and serve, then serving is something different. And we love that, do that. But they are not one and the same. And so defining our terms maybe from the beginning is really helpful.
Yeah, and I would thank you so much for that, Shalene. I would even say that I would like to use the word exploring, because one of the things that Greg and I have discovered in the last couple of weeks and months in this process is that I wasn't aware that most of the churches I grew up in, their key value was serving and giving. Let me equip you and train you to serve and give the organization. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is a great model, and it really equips people in a lot of ways. But I came to realize that that is not our model. That's not what we're called to. So we're called to something different. And that is that the Lord has led us to equip and empower people in an exploration of their identity with God, which may or may not have anything to do with this organization. So when we are connecting with and loving on people, the lane that people may be running in is their home, their workplace. It could have nothing to do with what's happening here with us. What that also means is that when someone has a passion in their heart, like for example, Lindsay wanted to do a women's ministry, and I was like, Lord, we're barely getting our Saturday nights up and running. And I know what will happen with the women's ministry. Everybody will run to the women's ministry because they don't have to get permission from their husband. And so they will run to that, and that'll be done, and our Saturday nights will be kaput, and then, you know, we'll have left a women's ministry. Besides the fact, Lord, you told me, we're not doing a women's ministry. And he said, no, I told you, you weren't doing a women's ministry. And he said, are you really going to be that church that will only open up a lane if it serves the organization? Or will you open up a lane because I have called somebody who wants to run with me? Will you equip and empower somebody who wants to run with me? And I'm like, and so here we are, like it's happening. And I'm so excited that it is, because the Lord is just showing me a whole new way of being church. So that is also another one of our core values, is equipping and honoring people in their lane with God. And what we have to figure out how, well, we just have to, each time we'll just have to figure out how God's going to do that. Because again, this is hosting a move of his. It's not building an organization. It's a much different thing for us anyway. Yeah.
I like that word exploring, because the thing that I'm just starting to learn about God is he's always growing with us and growing us differently in different seasons. So he doesn't just give us one idea or one lane. Sometimes he has a different exploration for us. And so we might
A little bit. Do you have anything else you want to add to that? I'm sure we are on time. Our services are going to go with, we'll have some level of a Liskit. We're going to have a crazy activity. We're really going to ask you to be involved in the crazy activity and participate as much as possible. And the reason why is we want to make you the hero of your kids. We want your kids to look at you and go, huh, my dad just dot, dot, dot. Or my mom just, we want them to look at you and have this like awe and wonder. Here they come. Also, we want to encourage you to take a look at the sheet that we gave to you on your way home and think about how you interact with this experience with your kids when you head home. Greg and I discovered a little while back that we would drive home from church and talk about 5 million negative things. I know that seems shocking that we would ever do that, but we did. I mean, everything from the temperature to the whatever, you know, and then we realized like we were making our kids hate it because, you know, so that was like a huge learning lesson for us, was to ignore what was negative and share that at another time if we felt like we needed to, but choose to, on the way home, really focus on opening up places of intimacy and relationship and like celebration of what was really great with what we were just at. So here's a couple of hints that we think will help you have it be a great experience. We will have that skit. Then what we'll have is we'll have a community teaching time where kids can continue in their prophetic art, where they have the freedom at the tables to have a little bit of freedom to, you know, interact and explore. You guys are all good. It's all good. I know you're excited about what you're going to serve us. Yay, we're so excited. And then what we will do is we will have the last 45 minutes of our time. So we are going to have it be an hour and about 20 minutes is what our service is going to be. We are going to have the kids go do something where they can get their energy out, the younger ones, like up to 7, where they can go get their energy out, and we're going to have a chance for you guys to give us feedback. So we're going to try different things. Like, we're going to try having the kids appear separate. We're going to try having kids with families, and we need you to, like, be taking notes, writing down your observations on everything you think that could make this awesome. Because some of you might stay and decide to be a part of this community, but most of you will probably go back to your home churches, so we really need your feedback, and we really would appreciate you talking with the Holy Spirit and going, okay, here's, as they move forward with people who are called to be a part of this, here's how they could do it really well. Because that's a part of the huge gift that you're giving to us, and we are so appreciative, right?
Yes, honest and candid feedback.
Yeah, and suggestions would
and
be
suggestions,
huge.
Yeah.
Yay. We will do a prophetic time at the end of every service, and it's going to be really low key. We'll probably have somebody come up. We'll have a couple of people who are practiced in listening share, probably via a picture, what they hear the Lord saying. Then what we'll do is open it up for kids to share what they hear the Lord saying with that picture, and any adults can jump into. Does anybody not feel, I guess, come talk to me, because I shouldn't point you out, if you don't feel comfortable with doing that. But we have found, like, it's not about getting things right. It's about having a chance to explore. So if you feel uncomfortable with that, come and talk to me. Otherwise, we're hoping that that's a really easy way of doing things. Because we do want kids to start practicing.
And nobody calls you out and points at you or anything like
that. I was wrong! Yeah, that's never happened. And it was, like, I remember really quickly, one of our gals was like, can I go to the bathroom during this like little practice time? Like, would anyone notice if I went to the bathroom? You know, like every single time, would anyone notice if I was gone from the room? Because she felt uncomfortable. But here we are just a few months later, and she's not here right now, but her prophetic words have been incredible for people. And she's starting to realize, I really hear the Lord. I really, really hear the Lord. And I hear the Lord for other people. When I'm saying stuff, I don't even know what it means, but they burst out crying. I kind of think that maybe the Lord gave me something. And so what's really fun is to see yourself grow in your ability to hear, and just take a risk and give it a chance, because this is a safe environment to do it in. So if anybody's uncomfortable with that, please let us know, because we don't want people to be too uncomfortable, but we do want you to learn, like, be okay to take a risk.
We also want feedback on how we go about that.
Yeah, doing it better.
Yeah. How can we do that better and do a better job of that? So.
And then Lindsay and Jared will be hosting a prophetic time coming up like twice a month after service, probably a 45-minute, like more intensive for people who are wanting prophetic words on their marriage, their original design, their kids' original design. So if anybody wants to talk to them more about that, you're welcome to do that. So we have our kids back. Hopefully our kids from Bigger and Better are going to come back and show us what they found on their treasure hunt.
Eventually they'll be back, are you sure?
Yeah. Are the littles, are you guys ready to share with us what you made?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you excited?
Sure.
Is Miss Jill ready to like have it come out? I don't know where she is. Maybe
if I know where Miss Jill is. Is she still in the kitchen?
While somebody's, can you guys go check and find Miss Jill and see if we can bring out your goodies and put them out on the table? Any other comments that anyone has? Anyone? Any other comments? Go find Miss Jill and see if we can bring out the goodies. You can serve them. See if she's in the kitchen. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys can hang out up here too, though.
Yeah, you can stay up. Oh, okay. She's there. She is. She's bringing it over. Okay, she's getting it ready. Any other comments from?
Can you go help? Cricket.
Yep, you guys can bring it out. Tell Miss Jill we're ready. Go tell her we're ready for you to serve us. Yeah, we're ready for you guys to serve, to pull it out and just have our social time. No, you're going to set it up there. But I thought, okay, but I thought we could all clap for you. So if you all bring it out and then we would. When the bigs come back, when the big kids come back, we have a really short video to share. So hopefully if you guys are able to stay and visit for a few minutes, and the bigs, of course, you can't leave without your bigs, for those of you who have them. We'll take just a quick moment together and gather. It's like a minute and a half. Oh, yeah. Oh,
the 5 second rule. Oh,
so the 5 second rule.
Or 20 seconds, it just depends. That's all right.
So what did you guys make? Can somebody tell us what you guys made?
Here, let me go over and
interview the cooks, please, so we can find out what was made.
Nathan, you want to go up and
talk to them? Here, he's right here. Mr. Greg's right here. Right here.
Right here.
Yeah. Can you interview, please?
What did we make today?
We just make some rolls.
Yeah. What did we do with the celery?
The sugar.
Yeah,
we made rolls with cinnamon and sugar. And what did we do with the celery?
We cut them and we put cream cheese on them.
Nice. Very fun.
You guys
very,
must have done
a really awesome little chef.
Yay! Woo-hoo. Good job, guys. All right. Hopefully our bigs will be back momentarily. Please feel free to like write more comments on cards. Any of your cards that you're willing to give to us, come put up on this table. And feel free to hang out and have some coffee and some goodies. And our big kids should be back any moment.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.